Last Lord's Day, we began a vitally important study concerning the call to reason together, God's invitation for salvation. And we were looking at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But notice also verse 19. Because God has extended his invitation, but man has a part in accepting the invitation of God. And verse 19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And so this was an invitation to God's chosen people. But we have an invitation for eternal life extended by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we noted in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And so last Lord's Day, we were asking this question, God is long-suffering, but how long will God wait? So yes, God extends his invitation, but we need to accept that invitation and not procrastinate, not put it off, of course not. And something else we did in our study last Lord's Day was ask the question, what causes people to be unreasonable? And of course we know that there are a number of reasons why people are unreasonable, but one of the main ones is because people's minds becomes poisoned through influences. And we began to look at all five of those influences, and let me just mention those briefly. Family members, of course, are going to have a great influence on us. False religious preachers and teachers, that's obvious, isn't it? Peer pressure, friends, co-workers, classmates, and so forth. And the media, news broadcast, which may not be news at all. Television programs, movies, radio, books, magazines, newspapers. Yes, this has a tremendous influence on us all. And higher education. As agnostic and atheistic professors push the general hypothesis of evolution as a fact, that can be very intimidating to students. And so we need to prepare our children and grandchildren for the assault on their faith. So that's where we left off last Lord's Day. So we'll want to pick back up there in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And what more important thing could we all be doing than just that? Well, we hope everyone is preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. We love to have visitors, and you would be most welcome to join in with us as we study God's Word in our Bible classes and as we assemble together to worship God. We strive to do so in spirit and in truth. Yes, according to John 4:24. And something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies. Yes, that would be a wonderful opportunity to see what God's Word reveals to us. And something else we want to mention, we're always glad to answer your Bible questions. Your comments, positive or negative, are also appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. So let's get back to our study, as we were noting, of course, the invitation from God. And how many people are influenced by so many other aspects in their life that they never take the time to accept the invitation of God to obey the precious gospel of Christ. And the ways that people's minds can be poisoned, of course, is quite numerous, but we were pointing out the main ones, and I wanted to mention two others in this regard. Political leaders. Yes, they give the perception of helping poor people while pushing for legal abortions. Now, this is not all the political leaders, obviously, but quite a large number of them are doing just that, pushing for legal abortions. Same-sex marriages now has been made a law. Yes, the ruling by the Supreme Court. Transgender agenda is being pushed by how many of our political leaders? Yes, our president, in fact, is pushing this agenda. How tragic it is. And of course, how often do you hear the Bible mentioned in public schools now? So we need to ask ourselves, are we voting for those candidates who have moral principles? Well, we want them, of course, to be good leaders, but certainly we should want them to have moral principles in order to be good leaders. So that's something to think about, isn't it? Because this is a means of poisoning people's minds, and it should be obvious the situation we find our country in today. But one other I want to mention, and it, of course, needs to be mentioned, and that is economic ambitions. Covetousness. It is a sin, Colossians 3:5. And how many are putting the dollar, the mighty dollar, as their number one priority? And, of course, we need to understand no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do both. And if we put the dollar over God, we've made a terrible mistake. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yes, Matthew 6:33. Are we putting the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, first in our lives? Well, we must do so to please God. So let's keep those in mind and not allow these influences to poison our minds. Because there's an ever-present danger of having our minds poisoned. The Bible warns us of this. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Yes, Colossians 2:8 makes that very clear, doesn't it? God does not give unreasonable commands. Now, everyone should understand that because God is just. God is perfect without any flaw. And so we should, of course, realize that God does not give unreasonable commands. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Of course not. Many religious people do not want to think reasonably. They allow their desires to interfere with coming to the proper conclusion that I need to put God's will first in my life instead of partaking of sinful pleasures. And so they give in, and they're not wanting to think reasonable in this situation. Well, notice Acts 24, 25, and 26. And Paul, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, which is self-control, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Well, here's another lesson of not to procrastinate. But another lesson is this man was coming into contact with the Apostle Paul for several years. But we don't hear of him finding that convenient season, do we? Well, no, that convenient season doesn't seem to have arrived in his life. And he had taken another man's wife. And so you can see why he trembled at the truth. Well, let's not be like Felix. We need to heed what our Lord and Savior said. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, Luke 9:23. Are we denying ourselves? Are we putting to death anything that stands in our way of putting God first and following our Lord and Savior in accordance to his teaching? Yes, the doctrine of Christ is found in the New Testament. It is reasonable to trust God because he knows what is best for us. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's Proverbs 3:5-7. And of course, God knows what's best for us. So let's trust God, not with half a heart, but with all our heart. And certainly not lean upon our own understanding. What's that going to get us? We should all understand that. As Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. Well, let's go on now in our study and ask this question. Are we able to give reasons to those who ask us about our faith? It's not enough to tell someone, I know in my heart that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. It's necessary to give them an answer. We want to present rock-solid evidence, not just base it on our feelings. That's not going to prove anything by just saying, I feel this way, or I know. But how does that person know without evidence? Notice Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen. And we need to prove all things, hold fast that which is good, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And notice 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are we able to do that? Well, we should be. If we've been in the Lord's church very long, we need to, of course, understand that God would have us to prove all things, even his existence. And as we seek to teach others the gospel of Christ, we must reason with them out of the Scriptures, Acts 17:2, as it was the manner of the Apostle Paul. And may the following examples of using reason when searching and teaching the Scriptures admonish us to do the same. As we go now to Acts 17:11, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And chapter 18, still in Acts, verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Do you see how the Scriptures must be utilized, and how we must reason using logic, sound logic? In verse 19, still in chapter 18, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. There it is. And notice again, chapter 24, verse 25, as we mentioned a moment ago with Felix, and we need to emphasize this, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Well, Paul was using reason, but Felix was using the attitude of, well, I'll wait and do this later, or study more, or whatever. He's not ready to submit to the will of God. Now, we need to point this out. Without the Word of God, one cannot direct his steps. As Jeremiah mentioned a while ago, we quoted Jeremiah 10:23. And without the Word of God, no one can discern good from evil. It's not possible. Man has all kinds of interpretations of what's good and evil. In Hebrews 5:12-14, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk, not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But notice, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those, here it comes, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, we want that to be said of us, do we not? We want to use reason and have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. Now, Christianity is not a religion relying strictly on one's feelings. They're involved, of course. But Christianity is relying on using reason and logic in order to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you what? A reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, as we quoted a moment ago, 1 Peter 3:15. So let's appreciate the fact that God wants us to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And Jesus makes it clear that a closed mind is not capable of reasoning with God, as he quoted Isaiah 6:9-10, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand them with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Matthew 13:14-15. We don't want to be dull of hearing. We don't want to have our eyes closed, having our mind closed to the truth. We want to have our hearts open to the Word of God, receive it into our hearts, and submit to it, and carry it out. Well, let's notice this situation where there are three very basic questions which can easily be answered by staying with reason and logic. So as we close out our study, I wanted us to look at these three very basic questions, because they're good examples of how we need to stay with reason and logic. Question number one, is it reasonable to believe that life came from non-life? Is that really reasonable? Well, of course not. The Bible says God, who is eternal, created matter. All things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1:10, the second person of the Godhead, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Yes, in the beginning brought forth creation, God the Father, the planner, God the Holy Spirit, the organizer. And so we need to appreciate God, who is eternal, created matter. Mind produces matter is reasonable, but matter producing mind is not only unreasonable, it is just impossible. As one uses reason and logic, what other conclusion could you come to? The nest does not produce the bird. Who believes that? But the evolutionists are really saying and trying to prove to us that dead inorganic matter, the nest, produced life, the bird. Now, using reason and logic, no one should believe such foolishness. That's right, it's foolishness. But let's go on. Question number two. These are very basic questions which can be easily answered by staying with reason and logic. Is it reasonable to believe that it does not matter what one's religious beliefs are as long as one is sincere? Of course not. The Bible says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." That's by His authority. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, Colossians 3:17. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death, Proverbs 14:12. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 7:21. God is just, and we can understand the Bible alike. We've studied that before, have we not? Now, question number three. Is it reasonable to believe that it does not matter what religious group to which one belongs? Of course not. The Bible says, "But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Matthew 15:13. We know, in accordance to Acts chapter 2, the church began on the day of Pentecost. Where? In Jerusalem. When? In the first century, after Jesus was resurrected from the grave and ascended up into heaven, the apostles were to wait there in Jerusalem and receive power from on high, which they did. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. They preached the gospel in the languages of all those present, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Verse 47 of Acts chapter 2. So, which church was that? Well, it was the one that Jesus promised to build. "I will build my church." It's the one that was purchased with his precious blood. And of course, it's the one body. In Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. So we all should understand that it does matter what religious group one belongs, which one belongs. Of course it matters. Because if we're not in the body of Christ, the true church that Jesus purchased with his precious blood, then we're in a church that's going to be rooted up. If it was started by man in some other place other than Jerusalem in the first century, it's the wrong church. Now, everyone should understand that by using reason and logic, staying with the Bible, of course. If we listen to others, we may get our minds poisoned, as we talked about earlier. So let's stay with God's Word, regardless of how many others do not. As you note in Matthew 7:13 and 14, there's two roads. Yes, there's the broad way. The gate is wide, and many there be which go in thereat. But where is it going? It's going to the fires of hell. That's not the road to be on. The gate is narrow. It's narrow, and the way is straight. Yes, and it leads to eternal life. And few there be that find it. Are we one of the few, or are we one of the many? That's a question we all need to ask ourselves, and be sure we know the answer. Is what is the answer we're going to give? It better be what the Lord said, to be on the straight and narrow. So let's use reason and logic and stay with the Bible and answer the invitation of the Lord as He offers salvation. And no other person can offer salvation other than our Lord and Savior, because He died for our sins. And He is the one that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He can take our sins away as we obey the gospel, as we submit to His will. Are we being reasonable and using logic, or are we relying on our emotions only? As we said before, they're involved, our emotions are, but we better not be relying only on our emotions, because that can lead to death. And so we asked another question: is our mind poisoned by worldly influences, or is our mind open and ready to be filled with God's Word? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be filled, yes, with the truth, and there shall be the kingdom of God. And without emptying ourselves and receiving the truth, we'll not go to heaven. We must not fool ourselves. And so, have we answered God's call? Remember, we started out with Isaiah 1:18. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." Are we ready to reason and accept the truth and use our minds in a logical way? And then, as we obey the gospel, be ready to serve faithfully, even if it means our death. And thus, we're going to be able to give a reason from the Scriptures for our faith. And so now we want to extend the Lord's invitation. We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel of Christ. First of all, we have to hear the truth. Without hearing the Word of God, we can have no faith. Romans 10:17. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ. "Except ye believe in me, that I am He, you shall die in your sins." We must believe that Jesus is the Christ. Yes, John 8:24. And having believed that Jesus is the Christ, now we're ready to repent, making a change of wills. We're ready to do the will of God. Acts 17:30. Luke 13:3-5. And then, once we've made a change of wills and we're going in the way God would have us, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. We're not there yet. Romans 10:9-10. We confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Now, having made that good confession, we're ready to be baptized into Christ. For what purpose? For the forgiveness of our sins. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Romans 6:3-5. So we stand ready to assist anyone in submitting to the gospel of Christ, putting on Christ. And then, of course, we need to live faithfully, even if it means our death. And we thank you so much for listening today.